You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 51. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Hey, you guys, how are my lovely parents doing? Today, we're going to be talking about thought loops, specifically the negative kind. Because what else would we talk about here? So first, a couple announcements before we continue on with the episode. A couple things. So again, if you're watching me, you might chuckle to yourself a little bit because you don't even need to know the reason, but I've got two different files, now three, including this right here. For the episode today, I lost the file because I am me. And so I ended up re-recording it and then found the file anyway. So I did a pick and choose of the things that I liked the most from both of these recordings, which of course took a very long time to put together. That's not your issue. That's mine because I'm a little silly in the brain. That's number one. But two, also because of the fact that I again have this extra material, I'm going to be publishing it into the private Facebook group. One of the bits that I have, I don't know, it's a few minutes long, is actually, I really wanted to just tack it into, like, put it into this episode, but it's already, you guys tend to, when I look at the analytics, y'all don't really like it when I go over 30 minutes, it seems like. So there's like a drop-off level. So I'm going to pop that into the private Facebook group. Okay. If you haven't joined already, then I'll put a link into the show notes. Also, this is important. I want you guys to hear it. I'm going to be doing an Ask Me Anything thingy this weekend. I know it's last minute, but this is how I do. It's how I roll. And I think I'm going to start doing it on a very regular basis. Maybe we're going to start with this Saturday, but I need to get you guys input as far as like days time. So this week I'm doing it on Saturday just because I know that not everybody's off work on Saturdays, but the majority of you I think will be. So these bangs, y'all, driving me insane. Anyway, so I'm going to do it this Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So Ask Me Anything. I'll be there. I'll have some work here to do and I'm just going to stay on. I'll broadcast it in the private Facebook group again, okay? So it'll be there and you can just show up into that group if you have any questions for me, okay? Anything at all. I mean, you know, mostly anything at all. If it's about you, okay? So that is that. And then now we're going to get on to the episode. So today we're doing like when you're stuck in negative thought loops, okay? And I figured you guys would all, this, I hope that it's very useful for a lot of you out there. Okay, so enjoy. I'm sure you guys all know what a thought loop is, but I'm going to give you my quick definition just to provide some clarity so we're on the same page. A thought loop, more specifically a negative thought loop, is a series of sentences that you're repeating in your head that feel very necessary. They feel like urgent and oftentimes feel like you're taking precautions and they feel like almost dutiful and that you need to complete these loops in order to protect yourself or in order to get whatever done. There's a few different types of thought loops, different ways they show up. Initially, I was going to just do thoughts pertaining to your situation of alienation. But I think it affects so much more. Like alienation itself affects all of the areas in our lives for a lot of us anyway. I think most of us don't have the ability to compartmentalize and only have it affect one or two areas of our life, you know? And also because our behaviors, the behaviors attached to these thought loops can affect our alienation situation so much. I feel strongly about wanting to visit a few different examples anyway, because I think it could be helpful for you guys. Okay. One of the first kinds of thought loops that I'll bring up briefly is the urge to consume something. So whether that is to compulsively shop, have you ever, like, I used to work retail when I was, my first very young adult jobs were in retail. And I would go into the store for work for the day. I worked at a bunch of different at the same time, like the Gap and the Limited and all that stuff. And I remember I would go into work in the beginning of the day, I would see like the new stock that would come in and I wanted that thing, whatever that new thing was, right? And by the end of my shift, I had 20 reasons why I needed that thing. And then I would end up spending all of my paycheck, everything. I mean, at that age, it didn't matter, right? But I would spend all of my paycheck on all the things that I have already convinced myself that I needed. Also, this happens with, you guys have heard me talk about this, when you are actively like feeding an addictive behavior. So whether that's overeating, over drinking, not eating also is a compulsion and it begins with a thought loop. So those are like the consumption time. You might do it also, I kind of relate these, when you're in the middle of a breakup with somebody and you have the urge, you have to text, you have to say the last thing, you have to engage in another conversation with them. You know what I'm talking about, right? All of us have been there where you just feel like you just have to say one more thing and that, or you have to drive by their house and drop stuff off and make a point. But that is like, we get in that obsessive, it's so compelling. Your reasoning for going and doing the thing is so compelling that it's so difficult to resist until you go do the thing or you think it needs to continue anyway, right? Because that's the thing about these. When you're in a thought loop, your brain makes it seem like it's so, so dire. It's so necessary that if you don't do it, then what? You never really answer that, but it's like this dun, 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 like you have to do it. And sometimes to the point where you ever been in the argument and you see yourself going down, like you're like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But you keep going to like your own detriment, right? You ever done that with like maybe a boss who is now a former boss? Yeah. So I think we've all done that, or a teacher or somebody that is a position of authority. I've done that one many times too. So there's that kind of thought. There's the kind when we're concerned about somebody else's motives, for instance, the alienator. So when we feel like we're vulnerable or don't have the control that we are used to or desire or think that we are entitled to, this is often a quote unquote trigger for this to happen. I have many, many stories, as I'm sure you do too, of this happening, especially when I was still actively sharing physical custody, you know, of my daughter with her father and stepmother. My kiddo, one time she came home when she was 4 years old and almost five, I guess, and she had once had long hair and it was cut into a bob with bangs. Short bangs. Y'all, I about lost my goddamn mind. Oh, I couldn't believe not just the nerve, like, how could somebody, who does this? I was enraged. Also a bit scared because, or like intimidated because I was like, something's not right with this person. Like I was shuddering. And so, of course, many, many thought loops were spurred from that one experience. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever forget that. But when I was living in that, I can't believe her. What is she trying to do? She is using my daughter as her little Cupid doll. Like what is going on? All of the things. When I did that, I was handing my wrists over here, handcuff me, to the stepmom. She had come and entered into my brain and had control over, I mean, I was obsessed with her obsession. Do you know what I'm saying? I was living and breathing, seething anger. How could she? Those loops went on for some Penn States. Or she would, in first grade, most teachers do this, where they send home like a calendar each day with their homework and whatever. And so I would always draw. I'm an artist. And so I would draw and color in like oil crayons the seasons. Like for whatever month it was, I did a theme for that month and did it all on her calendar. So it was super cute and pretty for her. Every time she went in, she had a, I drew on her sandwich buttons with Sharpies, and there were always these elaborate designs that ended up getting tossed later, but she loved that. And so, and all of her classmates loved them. So we'd go into lunch a couple days a week, and all of her classmates were always like, what did you do today? Right? They loved it. But there were times when my daughter would come home, you know, after being at her dad's for a couple days, and my drawing, my artwork would be torn off of her calendar, sometimes tearing even into the days. And I know it wasn't my daughter doing it. I knew that it was her stepmom. Also, the school buses, the day she was coming home with me, that the teacher wanted to know. And then when she was going back over to her dad's house, also so that my daughter would either get on the bus or know that I was coming to pick her up. The stepmom would write on the calendar in big, bold letters, like to their last name's house. And then when it was for me to pick up, bio mom is what she would write. Or she would write my first name, Shelby, in big letters. And it was so... abrupt isn't the right word, but it was just so in your face and so bold. I'm a bold person, but not with aggressive. This is what it was. It was that she was so aggressive with it. And it always took me back. Like it made me feel unsafe and I didn't know how to act. So instead I froze. I was in that part of the trauma response where I just froze. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I didn't know what to do next, except for, of course, up in my brain, I would ruminate about it and I would get on these thought loops about how crazy she was and she must be dangerous and this is really fucked up and this is my poor sweet daughter. And I thought by drawing these cute things, Katy Perry and Willie Nelson, and I would do cute like little, you know, like the elf on the shelf and whatever. That was just my thing. It was always like an art thing for her, especially for kindergarten and first grade. So I thought I was just being a fun mom for her. But I think that on the other side now, of course, I look back on that. Clearly, she took that, my artwork, as a like a direct hit. So in response, she basically, I think she was trying to pee on her property, what she thought was her property, just my daughter. So I would really stress out and stay in these loops. It felt very uncontrollable for me. It felt like my brain couldn't stop doing it, but I this is why I think so many of us as alienated parents feel like we are in our own personal hell because we can't get out from under constantly looping in our head what their motives might be. How evil and terrible and ugly and dangerous they are. This is a very unhealthy, unhelpful habit that if you do this, your brain has. And I know because, I mean, it caused me a lot of suffering. But the thing is, the function is very helpful when it's applied properly to the right circumstances. The part of your brain that is doing this, it's trying to search for danger so that you can avoid it. But many times we're looking at things, we can't control what's outside of us. So if we're trying to focus on what their motives are, although for very short periods of time and for restricted applications, right? When you're going to court, then this can be helpful. But otherwise, when we are in that obsessive cycle of supposing what their motives are and what they're doing and how evil they are, it's not helpful at all. Okay. And so we need to learn how to interrupt or disengage from that part of the brain that wants to do that. That part of your brain also doesn't understand that what you're looping about isn't currently happening. So if you'll notice, like when we're talking about situations that do seem to get you more emotional, your brain truly thinks that's still happening, right? This is a perfect segue actually for going into the other kind of the last kind of loop. I think it's the last one. Also one that you guys will very likely relate to is the afterthought, like the, I should have known if I only would have done blank, blank, blank. This is the one that always first comes to mind when I think about thought loops. I only in the last couple years really finally let go of this. And I noticed it the other day when I was cleaning my ears. Sorry, TMI. When my daughter was an itty bitty, she had ear infections a lot. I had ear infections as a baby. It's just, you know, kids do, right? And so she at She was maybe 20 months old, somewhere before she was two. I got tubes put in her ears. That solved all of the ear problems. She was good to go. And one day I remember I used to clean her ears with the big round Q-tips. They look like a fan. And so they're bigger and it's in a kid's ear. And so I would just go in and swab because she always had stuff. Anyway, one day she moved and I pulled back, which to this day, I don't know if she just got frightened or like startled by the fact that I yelped when she moved. And so then she cried, or if I, when she moved, didn't move fast enough and it went into one of her tubes. Long story short is that was the tube that I found out later on had fallen out. Also, that eardrum was partially ruptured. You guys, I was beside myself. I was like, did I cause this? I told her, oh, it's okay, honey. I may have like, I kind of feel like, I don't know. I don't really remember the incident that well, that like when it happened. I just remember pulling back and like, ooh, and she then got startled herself and started to cry. And I just remember going, oh, honey, it's fine. We just got startled. You're fine. Did I ignore her pain? Did I cause, you know, was this my fault? And so I punished myself over and over, especially after she left. Now, mind you, this was when she was like four. Okay, 4 years old. She was with me until literally like her ninth birthday. She was fine, healthy. We had a very loving, cuddly, loving, great relationship, amazing relationship. And so she was fine. She was healthy. But from the time that she moved into her dad's until a couple years ago, anytime I saw a Q-tip, really, my stomach would just go into a trauma response, thinking back about that. And oh my gosh, the pain I must have caused my daughter. The pain I must have caused, I can't believe I didn't, maybe I should have, you know, all of the things. It was a very emotional experience for me. And so I realized that I had been doing this. I remember where I was in Texas, and I was like, gosh, this is really, it's not helpful. I'd just become a coach and just started really digging into the work myself. And I started putting into action a protocol. My goal was to eventually be able to look at a Q-tip and not go into this spiral. I wanted to just allow it and not punish myself, not speak poorly to myself. And so that was the initial goal. And now I apply that same process to pretty much any thought loop. It's helpful to label what exactly it is that you're doing. Oh, this is a thought loop. This is an unhelpful series of thoughts that I continue to think, because I'm trying to solve for what happened in the past. When we're replaying certain actions that we took or didn't take, from sitting here where the vantage point is that we have all the information. But back then, when we made the decision to do or not do whatever thing that we think caused the string of problems, you know what I'm saying? I'm being very general right now. But when we're looping on the thing that we did or didn't do back then, or that we should have known better about, again, very useful mechanism. It's trying to keep you alert and aware so that we don't repeat that same mistake now going forward. The thing is that when we're living back there, trying to solve for this thing over and over, your brain is like, just, it's almost like how a computer tries different processes until it finds one that works. It's like, okay, let's try this scenario and that scenario and change just a little bit here and change a little bit there. That's what your brain is trying to do for something that's happened in the past. And it's impossible, obviously, we all know this with our higher thinking, that we can't go back and change that thing. But the thought loop seems absolutely 100% necessary. And that's because you need to learn how to use your higher thinking to interrupt that unhelpful loop. I asked the private Facebook group I posted yesterday about this. I posted what one of my thought loops were. Then I inquired about the members, what their thought loops were. And somebody immediately wrote back, one of the other parents, she was talking about how she wished she would have done something differently. Pulled her kid out of school the day that the other parent came and got him. The son is now over at dad's house. This was, I guess, a couple years ago that this happened. And her brain, this mom's brain, is still looping about, I wish I would have just kept him out of school that day. He said he was sick. Why didn't I listen? I'm supposing now of the things that she was saying, but we've all done this, right? Why didn't I just know? Why didn't I see the signs? And so you're just going over and over and over. And this kind of question, why didn't I see? Maybe if you ask it once to yourself, but when you're continuing on, why didn't I blah, 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 you're always going to come up with answers that are unsatisfactory. And it causes so much extra suffering for ourselves. Clearly, this mom that answered this couldn't possibly know that the decision she made to let her son go to school that day couldn't possibly have known that this was going to happen. In her mind, she thought she was being responsible and protecting her child by sending him to school. Because she didn't have all the information at the time, but now having all the information, of course, that's what a negative thought loop is. It wants to shame you into believing somehow that, okay, so I did the wrong, why didn't I just, but then once you accept that shame, then there's no solution anyway. So it's a fruitless endeavor. It's never helpful. It's rarely helpful, I should say. There are times where, you know, like when you're doing the researching and you're trying to figure out like, all the, you know, what they're really up to and the dangers of the narcissist and the dangers of the borderline personality and the person that alienates your kid. It can be helpful in the beginning to learn about what you're dealing with, but it's very limited. And for the amount of time and the suffering you cause yourself, wasting all of this time and energy and possibly causing yourself to be physically ill, like in the long term, it never matches the payoff. The benefits never outweigh the drawbacks to it. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why to me too, this is now I'm getting a little bit off, veering a little bit off track here, but I am pretty opposed to seeing the posts. And this is probably why my follower count is so low. I don't believe in engaging with posts or making the posts like social media posts that are the dangers of a narcissist or bad talking, down talking the narcissist or the disordered personality, the alienating parent, right? It sells, but I don't believe in engaging in that kind of negativity for this reason, for this very reason that it's triggering. It's not healthy for our bodies to be processing and entertaining these kind of thoughts, this kind of mindset, really. It sucks you in. It feels good, I can say, like I'm using air quotes here because it kind of feels satisfying in a way to indulge in these, the danger thought loop sort of thing. It does feel in a way your brain is telling you you're educating yourself and you're being cautious. You need to know so that it doesn't happen again. Very necessary, but you already know you're not going to do it again. You instead can direct your attention to learning from yourself. How you feel, how you want to show up. What do I really want? And this actually brings me to what you do about it. All right. So the first thing that you want to do when you realize that you are going through a thought loop, sure, I've talked about this before, about being like the watcher of your own thoughts and your own experience, really, to be able to have this mental out of body experience, watching you as you experience your own thoughts and your own emotions. It helps you to gain perspectives. And also because when you step out of living in the story of your thoughts, you immediately gain some relief from the actual thought loop itself and series of thoughts itself, because then you are now in an active role of watching mentally. It's an active mental role of watching yourself. And so you immediately start to feel a little small amount of relief there from it. It feels more manageable because a thought loop, when you're in it, it feels like your mind has taken over your body and you have no control over it, but you do. It's just what your mind wants you to believe at the time. So you want to become the watcher. Notice the fact that you're having a thought loop. Acknowledge that, like profess to yourself, oh, this is a thought loop. I'm going through a negative series of thoughts, of ideas, and I do this when I think that something has gone wrong. So the next thing, naturally, is to ask yourself, what has gone wrong here? What do you want or need to happen in this situation now? oftentimes, like if you're in that place where you're trying to solve for something that happened before, I shouldn't have sent my kid to school. I should have paid more attention, been more on the ball. In that situation, you're going to want to say that you need to go back in time and change the way that you behave. And so you'll know then that your PFC, your prefrontal cortex, is not involved in that response. And the reason I say that is because your PFC is fully aware this is something that we can't do. This is the rational part of your brain. That's like, we obviously cannot go back in time. So you'll know that if you have an answer like that, that this is your emotional brain or your primitive part of your brain doing the problem solving. So then you need to ask again, okay, say that we could go back in time. What would that provide me? And you might even say then, well, then I would still have my kid. This is how the brain gets resistance and stuff like this. So then you would say, and if I still had my kid, what would that cause me to feel? And you could say at peace, you could say loved, you could say valued, responsible, loving, protective, all of those things, right? Those are the emotions that we're really all looking for, especially when we're talking about parenting. Once you have those answers, this only takes a few minutes to do. I'm just making it longer because I'm describing it all, but what am I really after? What do I really want? I want to feel at peace. I want to know that they're okay. I want to know I can be okay no matter what. I want to feel valued, okay? And then you want to ask yourself how you can provide that emotion for yourself today. How can I cause myself to feel at peace? How can I cause myself to feel valued? How can I value myself today? If I was wanting to feel loved, how can I love myself today? How can I make myself feel important today? Because always, no matter what, everything that we do in life, we are doing because we, in the end, think it's going to make us feel a specific way. No matter what it is, we just want to feel at peace. We just want to feel loved. We want to feel understood, heard, you know, all of those things. We want to feel motivated, invigorated. It all boils down to what we want to feel in the end, the emotion that we're trying to elicit. So when you can find out what it is that your emotional brain is actually wanting from that, from going back and solving that, and then providing that for yourself, you're always in a winning place. Because when we look to other people, you hear me say this all the time, there's a hair that's like in my face, you guys, these bangs. Oh, there it is. Because when we look to other people to cause us to feel all of the emotions that we want to feel, you've heard me say this before, is that we end up either one, being disappointed because we have expectations on other people, or two, we're constantly like waiting around and feeling needy and feeling gypped. So instead, let's learn to cause those emotions for our own selves, like supply whatever we need for ourselves. And then when somebody else does do something and we feel whatever the emotion is that we wanted to feel, then it's a bonus, right? But we can always cause ourselves to feel whatever emotion we want to feel. Find the ways that you could cause it for yourself. Okay. Now, if we're talking about an action, right? Like an obsessive, like checking on Facebook, maybe drinking after a hard day and you've been like thinking about it. All I want to do is have a drink. All I want to do is have a cigarette. All I want to do is go smoke a joint. Whatever it is, go through this process of what has gone wrong here. What do I think is wrong with this picture? What do I really, truly want here? What do I think that the drink or the joint or the Facebook blah, blah, blah? What is it going to provide me? What's the emotion that I'm looking for there? Then it's how can you cause yourself to feel that without doing whatever action, obsessive action, compulsive action? And then the last question, the one that you would add on to it, is how am I justifying my behavior to myself and to others? Because usually when we do the action, we're telling ourselves that we need it because yada, 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 or we lie. It's usually like this pointless, not needed lie that we tell ourselves and maybe tell others. Somebody will ask you like, why do you keep getting on your phone? We're trying to have a conversation here. Oh, because I have an important job thing coming in. You lie about it. You say something completely different than what you're actually doing so that you save face. You keep that obsession, the action, the compulsion hidden from others and maybe even yourself. And so what are you doing to cover it up? Okay. And so when you come up with what you're doing and spell that out to yourself, not to cause yourself shame, okay? Let me be very clear about that. This is not to cause you shame or to down yourself or to use on yourself as like some way to judge yourself. No. This is to gain knowledge about you and the thought loop habit that you currently have, that currently turns into an action that you've already decided before this thought loop occurred that you weren't going to do the action. Okay. So you're gaining knowledge about you and about the way that your body, your thought loops and how it works for you. When we're on thought loops about, like, let's say about the intentions or the motivations, the motives of others, namely the alienator in your child's life, I think also it is very helpful to become aware of when this is triggered in you. In the case where you're like looking at somebody else's behavior, the step parent, the alienator, whatever, and you're like, they're acting yada, 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 and it's crazy. And I am just trying to protect myself and protect my child. So I need to learn everything there is to learn about what they might do next. You know what I'm talking about? When you ask yourself, what do you really want? You may say, I just want them to stop doing what they're doing. They need to act like a normal person. But you know also, too, that we have no control over how they act. We have zero control over that. So what emotion, if they were to respond or not respond, right, to just act, quote unquote, normal, like how you'd have them act, what emotion would that cause you to feel? And how can you supply that for yourself today? Now, when I say that, just know, too, that I don't intend for you to ignore the fact that they're acting the way that they're acting. If you believe that it is to the detriment of your child's health, welfare, I am suggesting that you acknowledge the behavior that they're having, knowing that you can't change it, staying aware and alert without allowing it to hijack your mind and negatively affect your immediate life, affect your surroundings. You can choose on purpose to be like, I absolutely do not agree with the way that they're acting. I am not comfortable with it. And I don't want to be comfortable with it. I'm not going to be comfortable with it. But I also not comfortable with allowing my supposing and entertaining the stories that my mind goes to because of them. You know what I'm saying? So like, you want to be able to make that separation there. What they do, I'm not pleased with it, and I never will be. I don't want to feel comfortable with it, but I'm also not comfortable with allowing and supposing what they might do to interfere with the quality of my life today. Keep that separate. That is them. This is me. So I'm not comfortable with allowing them to affect the quality of my everyday living. I will continue to stay aware and alert. And at the same time, I do not need, it is not helpful for me to obsess and Google search and do all of this stuff. In fact, if anything, this Google searching and obsessing will take you off your game because then you are distracted with the circus of what's going on, what could happen in your mind and all of this, that you're not able to show up for your daily life and be alert for what is actually happening. So it rarely works to your benefit. But I think with a place of compassion, surveying and looking like, what are the drawbacks to allowing this thought loop to continue? Do I like the outcome here? Do I like this experience or do I not? Of course, the answer, if we're talking about negative thought loops, the answer is most likely going to be no in the end. So yeah, become the watcher of your own thinking and allow the loop to be there without feeling like you need to down yourself as a result, but just poke some holes in what your primitive brain is telling you are the benefits to doing this thought loop. Oftentimes, it doesn't really have solid answers for you. It's just doing it because it thinks it needs to. And so if you just start asking, what am I looking for here? Oh, I really truly want to feel at peace. I want to feel like I am a good parent. I'm a protective parent. I am someone who watches out and is responsible. And so then you prove to your brain how going back there and doing that is not going to cause you to feel those feelings. What's going to cause you to feel those feelings is showing up that way today. So I hope that helps somebody out there. You guys have a lovely rest of your week. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and, using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.